You are listening to Digging In Podcast, presented by Rooted Wealth Advisors.
Welcome back to another episode of the Digging In Podcast. I'm your host, Kencho Kelly, helping you get those questions answered to and through retirement. Blocking for me on my blind side today is former University of Illinois tight end, Mr. Zach Gray.
That's all I could do is block.
Hey, that's why I led with it, right?
Exactly. I do have a good, you know, reception yardage.
Yeah.
We did. On accident.
Hey, accidents count.
That's right. Is that an average if it's just one? Probably not. Average, you got to be at least two or more, correct?
I don't know. Small sample size, that's for sure.
Proven.
With football underway, man, it's not looking great for the University of Illinois. Has Emily rubbed in that they lost to KU yet?
Hey, here's the deal. It's early in the season as we record this. Let's go. Let's turn the ship. Got a big one coming up, but we'll keep this evergreen.
There you go.
Just in case it goes south.
They got a
south.
Big one coming
in
up.
In case it goes south, okay? If they win, we'll be back with more. But, yes, they're struggling a little bit out of the gates. Your boys are struggling a little bit, too.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's something that we're forever struggling, I feel like. But I do want to talk football a little bit because in your time playing, right, defensive line is where you started. You moved to tight end in college, right? As you work together as a unit, and this is something I'm trying to teach my kids as we're watching football together, it might not look like that one guy on the offensive line has a big job, like to the average uneducated viewer, but that one person has a lot of trust in the other people on the field to do their job. If everybody's doing their job, we're working together, we're running this play, and with any luck, it should work, right?
That's the hope. Especially if it's, to use your terms, the blind side and don't see it coming. You're trusting that something's happening there. And, the question is it or isn't it? But
right.
Nonetheless.
I hope that we do a good job of blocking and tackling for each other here. But it's an interesting analogy that I want to make because as we see people come in to our offices, meet with our advisors, there's a lot of trust, right? This word kind of gets thrown around willy-nilly sometimes, but it's really a word that's heavy and has a lot of gravity to it. It's one of those things that's super important to have when you lose it, and it can be gone in the blink of an eye. In a financial situation, right, we're dealing with people's entire life savings. There's a lot of trust when you sit down with somebody.
Yeah, and that's something that we don't take lightly. I mean, it's one of those variables that's hard to gauge and understand, to earn. You know, we recently had this as I was discussing some things with our advisor in Denver. And he had all the right pieces of data. He had a lot of concerns that he brought to light. And there was just this kind of this one outlying piece of the puzzle, and that was the relationship and the trust that individual had with that other advisor. And thankfully, in this scenario, this prospective client ended up becoming a client. But I don't blame them for taking a moment, taking a beat, pausing, and saying, okay, hey, I've been real comfortable. There's a level of trust with my current advisor team. Is it worth a change to a firm that, well, frankly, we had only sat down with this gal for probably about a 3-hour window. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good reminder to our entire team of how to make sure to respect that trust, that relationship. As you know, maybe some of the viewers don't, but for us, kind of our through line is this commitment or connection with us internally as a team, also with our clients, because as we discuss, many times I feel personally that while performance and fee and those things definitely matter, they probably don't matter near as much as what that relationship, or I guess we're discussing trust, mm-hmm. What that is, you know.
But it's all built off that, right? You can't have a relationship with somebody unless there's a baseline, a through line of trust. There was an interesting national report that came out that said when people make financial decisions, they trust their current financial advisor, who they're working with, at a 91% clip. That's exactly how much they trust themselves when making financial decisions. So I think for us, viewing our current clients, that could be good. Obviously, we haven't polled our clients and made that data public. But if somebody's working with a financial advisor, aka Rooted, and they're trusting us at a 91% clip as much as they would trust themselves to make any financial decision, that seems like a lot of trust.
Yeah, it is. And I think it's, once again, it's the intangible, right, of really what makes our world turn. We're extremely proud of our retention rates, the relationships that we have, responses to things like client events and, you know, ambassador events, referrals that we get from our ambassadors. And that starts to give us a gauge on what that relationship looks like. But it takes some time, right? I mean, it's uncommon that we get a lot of referrals from someone that has only been a client for a few weeks. It just mm-hmm. doesn't happen quite that way. I think it's also interesting to kind of see and hear that, because I think over the years we want to believe, and obviously I'm even speaking with someone that comes from the marketing and the creative side, that it's maybe something that we put together. It's a podcast, it's a television show, it's a workshop. The truth of the matter is that after doing some polling, asking some of those tough questions, we realize that it's, you know, I never heard from my guy or gal. Mm-hmm. It's the reason that we give a weekly touch point to our clients with a little bit of market data in there and some changes that we might be discussing as a team, just to let them know that, hey, you know, we're getting paid to do a job and a service, and we want to let you know that, hey, our boots are on the ground doing that for you and trying to work and protect and grow your hard-earned money. Because, yeah, once again, that trust is something that can be very fragile. You know, sometimes, and I'd heard this years ago, you know, these positive deposits in the bank, mm-hmm. which we talk about as a team, because we're human. And there might be a piece of paperwork that was the wrong form, or there might be something that needs to be an update, or there might have been a change that maybe didn't get quite properly done at some point. Like I say, it's bound to happen. Mm-hmm. As long as we know that trust is at such a high level, or those positive deposits into the bank have been made over the years, well, we feel confident that, hey, if there is a minor slip up or error or something of that nature, that won't deplete that relationship. Mm-hmm. It's no different than how I think about it with my children or my wife, my friends. So I think that's really important. It's interesting to hear that statistic.
Well, I think you might be interested in a little more inside baseball. The further that we dig into this, it says how financial advisors earn trust. Would you like me to keep going?
Let's go.
So when it looks at it, it says that investors list financial planning advice as weighing in at a 49% clip that can help gain trust. Good news. That's what we do.
We're decent at it.
Also high on the list, help in understanding investments comes in at a 45% clip. I think this speaks to a lot of, like, you went to school originally for teaching, and I think you've always had this heart of a teacher. And when I've sat in on meetings, you explain things to people. You don't speak over their head and try to prove that you're the smartest guy in the room. A lot of times you are. You're just trying to help teach and help people understand some financial topics that can be very complex and convoluted.
Yeah, I think that hopefully that's something that comes across that way. It's something we talk about with our entire advisor team. You know, confused folks don't become clients. Mm-hmm. Confused clients, that doesn't lead to a great relationship either.
Yeah.
Right? And we can talk about beta and alpha and standard deviation swings. And if we want to go there, we're mm-hmm. ready.
And we certainly have clients that love that kind of stuff and getting off into the weeds. And what's great is that you can go into the weeds, but if somebody doesn't want to go there, you can kind of pump the brakes and kind of give them the high level and still help them feel assured that everything's okay.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, and just once again, make it understandable, because mm-hmm. we're so much more confident when we can understand. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And I think that this is a huge topic, because we want that confidence. I mean, people fear the running out of money. And mm-hmm. I think that there's a little bit of context there. I think it's just like fear that anxiety of even just feeling that way. Like, mm-hmm. we don't know when we're going to pass away. More than they fear death itself. Mm-hmm. And that's a report that comes out year in, year out, year in, year out. It's the same topics. And I think that proves a point of just saying, let's speak, you know, at the respective level mm-hmm. of those in the room, but also let them know that world-class financial advice is what we're striving for here at Rooted.
35% of people said helping understand my unique situation was one of their top answers. To me, that seems so simple. Understanding my unique situation.
It's hard to scale that, right? I mean, mm-hmm. as you know, I mean, that's been a part of our growth, is trying to navigate that and figure that out. I don't really know any other way than to have those in-depth conversations, make sure we're tailoring things the right way. There's been other companies that have scaled faster, bigger, and frankly, will probably continue to be larger than we potentially ever will. But I think one of the massive drawbacks to the way that they've gone about it, a few that come to mind, I'll leave unnamed, is just it's very what we hear in the office coin is cookie cutter in mm-hmm. terms of their approach. It's everyone's right for an annuity. No one's right for an annuity. Mm-hmm. This portfolio is great for you. Oh, it happens to be great for your neighbor as well. Mm-hmm. And of course, those are talking points that we bring to the table. Is from my vantage point, extreme cons, because your situation is different than mine, mm-hmm. vice versa. And so, yeah, I think that kind of circles right back to making sure that someone's hearing me and discussing things that I can understand and that land well on my mind and heart. But yes, once again, you want to make sure that the doctor isn't just prescribing the same drug across the board. They got to hear you out.
Right, right. You don't want somebody that's prescribing the same thing for, you know, you mentioned your blood work for my sprained ankle. Like, those two things are not a similar situation. Rounding out the list, we've got investments that reflect personal values, being accessible, and at number three, and I'm surprised this is not higher. Well, I guess it's number three on the bottom half of the list, but somebody who just listens to them.
It's wild. It goes back to that comment that we made before. It's, I can't tell you, I can't name how many folks have become clients of ours because they said, hey, I picked up the phone to call my guy or my gal. Never heard from them for a week or two. Mm-hmm. Some of which have gone as far, now I don't golf, but have said, I can't really speak right now. I've got to get to the golf course. Mm. Probably a bad conversation. Mm. And I think that while there's some common sense to be had there, I do think it's just really important that, yeah, we want to be heard. I mean, you know, I was reading a report the other day, and they had a quote in there with regard to, like, you know, one of the best words that you can hear is your own name when mm-hmm. spoke to. Mm-hmm. It was just a little refresher to me to be like, wow, yeah, if I shake someone's hand and I name them by their first name, the level of intimacy and trust goes up substantially. Mm-hmm. I'm not looking to do that in an inauthentic way.
Right.
But I do think that it's important for us to realize those things, even if it's to our children or to our spouse. I'm typically yelling at my child with a full name and a high vocal tenacity. Okay,
middle name and everything?
They really know the love and the trust there coming from me. Okay. That's the way it was with my grandmother and my mother. When that middle name came, I could feel the love. And joking aside, it is important, though, that we think about those things. And I think that it is by no means to discredit all the planning that we bring to the table. I mean, we get into the weeds of income maximization and trying to squeeze as much out as we can. Sometimes that falls right back to the investment picture, which is extremely important. I mean, we see fees that are very low to portfolios that are well over 2%. Mm-hmm. And you know, let alone maybe some outside wrap fees on top of that. I mean, the numbers get wild with certain products. Mm-hmm. Taxes, Definitely worth the strategy in thinking things through. Extremely important. Legacy, you know, maybe isn't something that's like one of the topics that we hit right out of the gates with a maybe a prospective client. But all of those things, I think, sometimes do pale in comparison to those conversations that we have in our advisor meetings about, hey, what is the, as we call it, client love. We want to make sure that they know that we care about them, and we truly do. Mm-hmm. And so just those little things, because I can tell you, I don't get many birthday cards anymore. You know, I don't get many, you know, get well cards if I'm not feeling well. We do it because I want that to be a bit of a kind of a piece of our culture. Mm-hmm. And I want that, I think that kind of starts to trickle downhill to the way that we answer the phones, to the way that we handle our clients, to the way that we'll stick around late or show up on a Saturday or go to a funeral or a wake or whatever those things might be. But those things are important because it's much more than just X's and O's. And frankly, my hope is that our trust level is so high that if we happened to be behind by a percent or two on performance, that it would never phase our client, because they know that we're, as we know, our through line is commitment. We are committed to them.
Well, I didn't think I was telling you anything you didn't know. I just thought it might be an interesting perspective from the other side of the table, because we don't often hear a lot of feedback about that one thing, right, that made somebody feel so, I don't know if convicted is the right word, but like felt like they really needed to be a client of Rooted Wealth Advisors. So I felt like this was interesting, because I think you do a lot of it, and I'm sure you're doing a lot of it, but it's also something that you've helped train the rest of the team and the entire firm on, that this isn't just a one-stop shop for this. It is relationships. That relationship doesn't happen without trust. Here's some framework for how we go about building authentic relationships.
Yeah. And I think you have to follow through on the trust. Mm-hmm. I mean, it goes without saying that performance does need to occur, and that, mm-hmm. that once again, fees are important, and strategies and getting things completed and all of that. I mean, there's folks that have been not so great people in this industry. Mm-hmm. Several names probably pop to the top of your brain that had extreme trust, mm-hmm. to the point of, you know, being able to do some very not so great things. Mm-hmm. And I think that once again, it was a little bit of the eye opener for me as we opened, was to hear at what level that trust does occur. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that it's with a current advisor, as you mm-hmm. exclaimed, and so forth, because insurance and financial services, yep. tends to rank, from the few reports I've read, fairly low, mm-hmm. right, in terms of just that feeling that you get, you know, and so forth. And I think that it, once again, is very important. You know, we were having a conversation, and this could parlay to a multitude of scenarios in terms of health. We've already talked about that. I don't necessarily want the cheapest brain surgeon if that's a necessity of mine. It's just not smart business. I've seen the botched or whatever television shows, you know. If I get a broken nose, I'm probably going to stick with a guy here right in the U.S. of A.
Oh, man.
It's rough, isn't it?
Oh.
All jokes aside, you know where I'm going with this. Trying to land and complete on a fun note, but so, so important. And make sure that you do work with someone you trust, that you do feel competent in. It's your hard-earned money. It's your future. It might be generational wealth to your children or grandchildren. If you feel like that's lacked in any way, hey, I would love for you to call us, but make sure you're getting that attention you deserve, because whether you have $250,000 saved for retirement, you've got $25 million saved for retirement, I do believe we can step in and help. We have clients throughout that entire range, but most importantly, you need to make sure that you're working with someone that is, once again, hearing you out, that you can trust, that you know is giving you the attention you deserve. And hopefully we continue to deliver on that.
I don't think I could wrap it up any better than that, folks. You heard it here first. You don't want the cheapest brain surgeon. That'll do it for this episode of Digging In. Until next time, keep digging it.
This was Digging In Podcast, presented by Rooted Wealth Advisors.